The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up and coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com. Hello, welcome back to the Scouted podcast with me, Joe Donoghue. Centre forward is often the most lucrative position on the pitch. They're the golden boot winners, the goal scorers, the game changers, and they're always the ones that get remembered. But football's changing. No longer is it enough to just be a good centre forward in the modern game. As many of you will be aware, over the past few years, we've seen the rise and rise of physical, dual dominant, athletic and mobile frontmen, a new breed of striker hitting the heights en masse. At Scouted, we've come up with a term for these most sought-after individuals, power forwards. And that is, or rather, they are, the topic for this edition of the Scouted pod. I'm joined by Scouted's very own Jake Entwistle, author of Monday Night Scouted, and contributor of many other analytical and investigative pieces on our New Look website. If you haven't done so already, go and check it out. You might just stumble across some of Jake's work and find yourself down a rabbit hole for the next 10 or 15 minutes. But for the time being, Jake, you've written about power forwards for Scouted, but we're yet to go live with the piece. So this is something of a little or lengthy teaser trailer for that particular investigative bit of work. First, though, welcome back to the pod. What can subscribers expect when the piece does go live?
Yeah, it's great to be back on. I love it. And coming on as an expert is humbling. But this is something that since I started sort of going full-time again with Scouted and working with School Corner data, especially giving access to like a broader sense of what players do on the pitch, I've become almost obsessed with trying to distill on-pitch characteristics into numbers and building these profiles. And the massive caveat I'll say immediately is that this isn't like sign players that look good on graphs when you use these metrics. But I tried to think about like why I'm doing this and what the purpose would be for a club or for sort of a casual fan. And it's just basically to like speed up the discovery process and be as robust as you can with like, what do I see on the pitch and what do I want a person to do? Oh, wow, they've already made this thing that I can quickly spit out 20 names to then go on and watch further and discuss. But as we'll get into, it's not foolproof. You might miss players by doing it this way, but it's all about my sort of like nerdy side of in a role-playing game, how you like have classes that are good at specific things. So your like berserker will be one that's just really strong guy that runs in. I'm almost trying to apply that to football, which that might make people cringe and immediately recoil. But I find it really interesting with the amount of data that you have available and the more that's coming, you will be able to build these sort of like classes for players, which we're calling the archetypes to be a bit more friendly to like current nomenclature in football. But that's it. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do is make a video game of real life football.
Sounds really easy. We'll get into it straight away because this episode is, of course, about power forwards. Power forwards in your sort of the way that you've coined it and the way that we've sort of settled upon is that they're faster, they sprint more and they sprint further, crucially, than your average centre forward. That's kind of a very basic look at what a power forward is. Would you be able to give us a little bit of an indicator as to something maybe beneath the surface a bit more in your research and what power forwards actually are?
Yeah, so they have always existed as well. This is another thing in which I'm fully aware again that I'm maybe not doing like loads of new stuff, but I'm trying to just like give more concrete definitions to what existed so that it's easier to spot. But the main reason why I think we're seeing more of them first is the first bit of the piece talks about basically how like everyone in the Premier League is getting quicker, obviously. Like the athleticification of Premier League football has been sort of a common theme in the past few weeks, or like at least the turn of 2025, with Man City seeming the what made Man City so strong and so dominant. Someone along the way realized that if you just match or output their athleticism, then you can run over them, as we saw Real Madrid do. That just looked like men playing against boys. I know it's a cliche, but it did. They couldn't get near any of them. So it basically, the power forward encapsulates that style of football that we're seeing. And they're bigger and stronger, but whereas before, someone that was big and strong was usually back to goal, target man. These power forwards are similar to Football Manager players, the advanced forward role on there. Again, I don't want to pretend that like using sort of the naming conventions from games, like football games especially, is, I think it's helpful. Like how that describes that role, it's similar to that. And it's all about like big straight line runs that break defensive lines apart, force people to track you, not only creating space for the player. And the power forward skill set is about like when you make that run, can you hold off a player? Can you get a big, ferocious strike on goal as quick as possible? But it also then creates space for other players because you're pushing defensive lines back. As we see, so many defensive lines are hives. Teams want to make the pitch really compact. So this profile is coming to the fore because whereas before, like the classic sort of coverage of when a player goes to a big team is like they're not going to get the same space. They'll have to face more deep blocks. The increasing quality of Premier League teams that aren't elite clubs playing with a riskier higher line, not defending as deep, means that the occasions in which you get those ping pong games and more transitions is more open to big teams. And big teams are realizing that like by almost trying to build a game state that isn't reliant on them having 70% possession facing a deep block where it's actually really hard to break down, trying to construct a game in which you have that 50-50 split means that these power forwards, again, are becoming more viable options for the bigger clubs, as well as the ones that traditionally would like use transitions and make the most of that prospect, which, again, the beginning of the article is like, Erling Haaland is one in his purest form. He's maybe not behaving as one at the moment. Like if you watch his, I think you were the one that used to post some of the Salzburg clips as well. Like what you saw in those clips is what I'm trying to basically distill into this data. Someone that can see a run over the a ball over the top, run in a straight line, shrug off, usually like orthodox side, hit across goal ferociously or smash it near post. Like the name power forward is because power is at the core part of it. Power of running, power of striking, power of sort of the ability to hold off players. So it's all about those really high intensity, ferocious, purposeful running that is becoming easier to accommodate into all styles of teams because of the changing tactical landscape.
It feels as though with power forwards, they are athletes in the purest form in the footballing sense. You know, you think about, I mean, this might be different for people who have a much broader understanding and affinity with, you know, mainstream athletics. But when you think of athletes, you think of the faster, the stronger, you know, those who can jump the furthest or jump the highest. You know, those are the attributes that we're sort of looking at with these power forwards, as you outlined there. And one of the things in the article, which again will come out and will be, I mean, I'm sure it'll be received very well, is the graphics in there with regards to the intensity, or the rather the increasing intensity in the Premier League over even just the last five or six seasons. You can see there's a very clear trend line going up and up. And, you know, this season, unsurprisingly, the intensity has taken up another notch. Again, using the excellent skill corner data, you know, the number of high intensity actions has increased. You know, the peak sprint velocity has increased as well. So these across the field, players are becoming more athletic. They're becoming more durable in that sense. And they're able to do it for longer periods. So naturally, if you're wanting to be a top level striker, you're gonna have to meet and oftentimes exceed the sort of the average level.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there's almost like chicken and egg, right? Because do you have to be an athlete now? Because at elite level football, the margins are so small that forcing your team to just sprint for the entire 90 minutes is almost what you have to do to be able to have a chance of winning. Like there's been a lot of that discussion around Spurs specifically and hamstring injuries, like stop making them run so much. But a lot of clubs have put like athletic capacity at the core of their like game model, to use like all of the buzzwords. But very few teams survive like only in the deep block. And even Forrest, who in the centre back piece, again, I used about like physical, the Brazilian centre back piece, used Murillo specifically. Like, he doesn't make a lot of sprints, but his capacity to do so is huge. So he could fit into another team. But their sprints all come like through Elanga and transitions, and they doctor them more by doing the deep block. But is the increase in the athleticism of players to do with the demands placed upon them? So therefore, there's more physical training and development than as much as technical? Or is it because like players are naturally faster, so you can use these tactics that benefit more from those athletic gifts? Because the quick one that was like interesting, I thought, was like, so in the piece, we look at Premier League as a whole and everyone's getting quick and doing more high intensity actions. But then with the skill corner data, you can like look at a group specifically. So then focused on centre forwards, it was a microcosm of that change. But they're making like two sprints more per 90, which two may not sound a lot, but a sprint is measured at clocking over 25 kilometers an hour at a certain distance. So just doing two more of those a game over a season is a lot more physical output. So you have to be able to do the capacity to do that. And not only are they doing more sprints, they're doing them at much faster speed as well. So
yeah,
it's just really interesting to see like within the seven season period that, yeah, that's scaling up. And the whole point of the article is, again, like this already existed, as I said, but the landscape is now changing for them to take the fore. And how can we find out like what else? It's about what other skills relate to that physical athletic capacity to be able to discover more of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things in the article is, and sort of this is the theme of this podcast, you know, being power forwards, it's kind of a further reading sort of concept, and we'll have more of these as time goes on to sort of dig a little bit deeper into the rubric of the, you know, the skill corner pieces that we're putting out at Scouted. But one of the things that stood out for me in the power forwards piece was the notion of striker runs, which again is something that you've coined, and you're kind of combining three different types of runs into one like catch-all term, which is actually quite handy, because, you know, that's striker runs is basically how you're going to describe it to, you know, someone in passing conversation. So I think it was really, really useful to use examples in that, and the one that you picked out as somebody who was making, you know, the high quality but also high frequency striker runs was of course Sporting striker Victor Gyökeres, who, I mean, to look at, you think, right, pace, power, finishing ability, dual dominant, certainly has been in the Championship, certainly is in Portugal. You know, he's somebody who is, as you've discussed, is the archetypal power forward in the modern era. Just going back to the striker runs concept, would you be able to explain what that is? Sort of the three types of runs and why Gyökeres is a great example of that?
Yeah, so the striker runs, again, I coined that term, but it was from a previous piece of Skill Corner research in which they discovered that like the three most frequent runs from a striker were runs in behind, cross receiver runs, and runs ahead of the ball. So basically I grouped those three together to like find striker runs and only focus on them rather than all of the other options. So by looking at the volume of those runs specifically, that immediately helps you remove some like false nine types that like dropping deep. So these are like nines. And then what I discovered as I was going through was that, or what I tried to do was just see if there was any correlation with all of the physical metrics that we spoke about first, and to see if any of them, and like the big word that I liked using was like augmented the output of the others, of the run types. So before in Skill Corner pieces, we've done a lot of like, here's the physical things, here are the off-ball things, you sort of have to connect the dots. Whereas what I've been trying to do is like pair them into the archetype together straight away to see if you can create those pictures. And the biggest positive correlation between any, like, so the five physical metrics I chose were PSV 99, which is peak sprint velocity, 99th percentile, how fast does a striker run? Sprinting distance, how much distance do they cover in a match sprinting? The number of sprints themselves, explosive accelerations to sprint to be able to hone in on that like power aspect of it, and then high intensity actions, which is anything that occurs above 20 kilometers an hour. And the biggest one was that the strongest correlation was targeted runs in behind, which led me to make maybe it's not a groundbreaking jump, but like the suggestion that from the data, and this was across Europe's big five leagues and the Primera Liga to get Gorkerez in there, it seems as if the faster you are, the more likely a teammate is going to pass to you when you're running in behind. So immediately that gives us the relationship of, okay, a power forward speed helps the runs be better, to put really simply. Again, that might not be like foolproof and just a definitive answer, but that's what I was working with, is like the faster you are, the more likely the runs are going to be targeted, because subconsciously, or just the way you make the movement, teammates are like, oh, that's Gilchrist running in, I should feed it. And then what was really interesting to me was that when you then broke down like a striker's running profile, so a striker's striker run profile, when you looked at the percentage of each run's contribution to that profile, you started to get this, it almost developed three archetypes within itself. So the runs in behind were the power forwards, because they're just making, it's about volume as well. It's about constantly making the runs, even if you're not going to get the ball, to try and break teams down through your running. So I wasn't looking at like efficiency of those runs. I was looking at how often do you run and how fast are you doing them. And then cross-receiver runs, which are, I think, the most threatening, because obviously you're receiving it closer to goal. That's where you sort of get your like goal hangers and maybe even like target forwards. And I started to build like a spectrum of three. This is about power forwards specifically, but I started to build that of like pure number nines. There's a spectrum of like power forward, target forward, and like goal hanger. So the power forwards, basically, they make the majority of their striker runs as runs in behind. That's one way to quickly discover people that play in that style already. Again, what I'll continue to emphasize is that doesn't mean someone can't play that role if they're not. That's where you use the other physical markers to maybe discover secret power forwards. But if you were just doing a quick assessment of like, right, I've got 40 leagues, I've got all this data, can I just quickly find like the top 50 performing power forwards? The way I ended up doing it was, let me just scroll through. So like, not only are you looking for strikers that just make lots of striker runs, so the majority of a power forward's off-ball running profile will be the three key striker runs, like, and I just used an arbitrary figure of like above 75%. Like, you want most of their work to be those runs.
Yeah, but exactly. You want to distill what they're doing into, you know, the stuff that they're most dangerous at exactly. Executing, basically.
So that if you immediately just had a big list of players and you just did a filter and you just filtered by percent off-ball runs as striker runs, 75%, you'd get a good group. And then you can you can refine that further by looking at the percentage of those striker runs as the ones that are in behind, and like anyone above sort of 45% of those three runs is the ones that are really just pounding channels for the full 90 minutes. And that's how I sort of built up the power forward like makeup, again, to discover them quickly. It's not foolproof. It doesn't mean that someone that's making 44% of their runs, striker runs, in behind is not one, but it's a way to quickly just like get that quick group and then assess them further.
It's a refinement process, right? So yeah. you're essentially just trying to make the finding or the spotting process, you know, the scouting process of identifying who is making those runs a lot more streamlined, which is completely understandable. From sort of a, I mean, we've discussed Erling Haaland from a contemporary perspective, but I thought it might be quite interesting to sort of go back through some of the Premier League's former, you know, goal getters of years gone by, and think, well, okay, which players could you maybe describe as power forwards or having power forward tendencies, who were, you know, prolific back in their day? Because, you know, as we know, the game has changed enormously. You know, somebody like Alan Shearer, as much as it pains me to say, I don't think if he was coming through now would score 260 Premier League goals, because this, you know, the game has evolved. And then there's also, you know, Harry Kane's got over 200 Premier League goals, but you wouldn't immediately go, okay, well, that's because he's a power forward. It's because he's like Erling Haaland. It's because there's a different style that has you know, been conducive to him, and yeah, the way that he plays. You know, obviously the dropping deep, and you know, he's very rarely been a, you know, play on the shoulder type of forward. But I was thinking, you know, who are, in your mind, based on your sort of criteria, who are the power forwards of the Premier League years, shall we say, that really stick out, or rather were sort of evocative when you were coming up with this definition of what a power forward is and when you were thinking about striker runs?
It's a really good question, because obviously, but I'm also wary of like relying on pure nostalgia to do it, because you've got that collection of particular clips of
people. Yes, of course.
But the someone that I don't think played as one, because he was misprofiled, was Lukaku, because he was forced to play back to goal. But it was when he plays for Belgium, he just makes runs in behind and gets tap-ins.
Also, so do you remember when he was at Everton, like those first few seasons at Everton, and he was kind of, was it when he used to pull right and then kind of run in from the right-hand flank?
Yeah.
There was no stopping him at that point, was there?
So again, in terms of like my really rigid definition, he didn't match it because he did like his inverted channel. So he liked putting off right, throwing a step over, whacking one in. I think if you watch his masterclass with Jamie Carragher that he did, which is still one of my favorite ever like peak segments, because it was just like, yes, Lukaku is good, shut up. He like rolls him a few times on the right side, like naturally likes that. But there's one where he just rolls him left, bangs it across goal straight away. And that's like, again, if you're trying to illustrate. So I think Lukaku now, if he was in, because obviously there's a lot of things about him putting on a lot of like weight, whether it's muscle or just natural weight as he got older, he probably didn't quite have the mobility to make these runs as often. But early Lukaku would have fit the mold. Like, I think he would have pinged all the metrics that I've mentioned on there. Someone else that I was battling with as like from an Arsenal perspective was like, would Henry be qualified as one? Because he has the speed, he ran in behind a lot. But I think because he was so good at so many other things, if you were doing that spectrum, as I said, of like power forward, the Venn diagram, power forward, target forward, goal hanger, he probably like goes into all of them, and then also then becomes a winger. Like he's probably just so good that he didn't have a particular role. And that's another thing, is I think as the rigidity of like tactical roles, again, it's their main focus should be like doing these runs, but it's not to say that finding someone that can do others or do other bits as well is important. It's just whether you want to index heavily into that. And then the other, he's still playing in the Premier League because he's ageless, but like I think 2015, well, less title winning Leicester, Jamie Vardy is one. Mm-hmm. And although he's like skinny bloke, so that doesn't transmit power straight away, the amount of runs in behind and the speed at which he did them, he would probably ping very highly on this. And I do actually have for like one of the later segments, a bit of 24, 25 data to look into. And I can tell you why that, but I probably don't have as many nostalgic picks as you were looking for. If there was any names that you thought of, I could maybe give my opinion on, but Lukaku for one, for me, is someone that like was the victim of misprofiling because he was just massive. So he was quick. Like he obviously was big, but he was so much better when he was pulling off and you just put it in behind, whereas he started to come really deep. I guess Drogba as well would be someone that people well, is powerful.
That was the one. Yeah, that was the one that I was kind of thinking in my head. And again, the bias of, you know, having seen certain clips and clips that stick in your mind, you know, the one where, sorry to Jamie Carragher again, I think it's him who rolls, sort of chests a pass down and then swivels and then hits it on the half volley. That one is one of my favorite Premier League goals. Again, it's not quite the archetypal power forward, but when you think of, you know, a guy who played up front was on his day unstoppable because of, you know, the upper body strength that he'd have, but also the in terms of the running profile that he had. I think back to, was it the goal that he scored in the 2007 FA Cup final? Might have been extra time against Manchester United. That was, I think, a really good example of, you know what, you're not going to beat me to this. You might be able to go shoulder to shoulder, but I've got the power and I've got the, you know, the desire to use sort of an intangible to
it's about, it's the biggest intangible that I associate this with, this purpose. So when you make the run, you're not making it because you're like, oh, I've got to make this. You make it as if you're going to get the ball every time, which is why I love Gorkaraz. Because I wrote in the piece, he runs every run like it's like a pre-planned run. He runs it at full pelt. And even if he doesn't get it, it's fine. But with Drogba as well, again, he would have had the traits, but he was so good as a target man. Like,
yeah,
his clips where he's holding off two defenders, bringing it down with his chest, I probably would say like he'd go into this target forward thing, which again, doesn't... The reason I changed it from target forward to power forward is because there's that intrinsic like concept of mobility. Like the target man of yesteryear was never fast. So it was like, can I separate it a bit, make it sound a bit sexy so that people just didn't think target man meant back to goal?
Yeah, I suppose the footballing vernacular hasn't evolved to that point yet where target isn't automatically associated with back to goal strength as your primary function. So no, I think power forward is a good term to land on. I mean, as soon as you say the two words power and forward together, you immediately think Pez 06, Adriano, shot power 99. I wasn't fortunate enough to watch much of Adriano. I'm not sure about you, Jake, but in terms of runs in behind, is there any clips that stick out maybe a little bit or not?
So it's just clicked with me now, so this is uninformed, but so I fell in love with Adriano watching him at, I think it was 2007 Confederation Cup. So he was playing in those vapors with like the gold fade heel, the ball that everyone knows and loves, and just took the piss. I think he finished golden boot, and like his ball striking is just, the shot power is because of the ball striking, which I can't measure yet. But if I was going to do like, if I was going to keep building this power forward profile, I'd have like shot velocity and ball striking as part of it, because it's about breaking in, touch, bang, like to put it simply, like to put it in five-a-side terms. but Adriano actually, I think, played like John Duran. I think that's who I would do it as. And John Duran he can run in behind. He's very capable of doing it, but is so confident in his shooting that he doesn't run for running's sake almost. And another skill corner piece I did was about John Duran, like why Villa signed him, why you should look in South America for talent and then sell it on whatever. And he, in the article, I was like, he doesn't show up as someone that's making lots of runs and looks really good as an off-ball runner. But every time he does get it, it ends in a shot for your team, whether it's him taking it or the team. And I actually think, again, I'd be interested if other people would agree, but in a quick sort of like, what's the word, sort of like snap comparison, when you were just talking about Adriano again there, I actually think those two are very similar from what I can remember. So
no, I mean, I trust your judgment. I mean,
and I don't think they are, again, they'll be on the spectrum, but they're not going to be like power forward only, because they're like pot shotting and that sort of player. So yeah, Adriano would have had definitely traits of it, but I think he played more similar to like Duran, which is a bit more reserved, because Duran doesn't play exactly the same as Watkins, for example.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, really insightful. And I wanted to introduce that sort of that question, because it leads you down so many different paths and so many different threads to pull on. And, you know, if for example, the data of Adriano at Inter, for example, backs up John Duran, then great. I'm glad that we've created a scouted exclusive there. We'll have to check that out, of course. But moving more onto sort of the landscape of you know, teams and transfers and power forwards and the relationship between those. Part of the article that you've written, of course, is about more teams sort of taking a chance on power forwards. You know, they'll line them up. They'll have them targeted earlier on. They'll sign them before the current incumbents have moved on. I'm thinking about, you know, your Bournemouths or your Brightons, for example. One who I think has the potential to be a power forward is Will Ostula at Newcastle. I'm actually not 100% certain how you pronounce his surname, because I had been saying Osula, but I was listening to Five Live commentary recently, and it was Ostula. So I'm going to go with that. But you know, signing someone from Sheffield United for I think between 10 and 15 million pounds, who didn't exactly have a great track record, very young, was very raw and continues to be, but has sort of the attributes of a player, or certainly the physical profile of a player that you could definitely see becoming a power forward. You know, someone who has the you know, the leg span to run in behind, who's certainly got the engine, the stamina to do so. Ball striking when he gets it spot on, again across the goalkeeper, is definitely there. Yes, it would need some refinement, but I think he's still only 21. Someone who I think, yeah, has the potential to explode, maybe not to the same extent, but in the way that Gyökeres did, because, you know, he was at Brighton, a great example of, you know, the scouting and identifying that profile early, even if he didn't materialize there. But, you know, he was on loan at St. Pauli. He was obviously at Coventry, and that's kind of where he exploded into life. But I think Ostula is somebody with the physical profile. I've said on occasion, just watching, you know, he's kind of, if you wanted to sort of put Alexander Isak and Joe Linton at either side of a Hadron Collider and then send and shoot them at each other, you might end up creating Will Ostula. Again, you might destroy both players. That's not advisable, but certainly not with a Carabao Cup final coming up. But that was just something that when I was reading through the article, it kind of made sense, and I could sort of see the vision that, you know, Newcastle's recruitment structure had maybe speculated on, because, you know, a £10 million signing that ultimately turns into potentially the next Gyökeres, or, you know, even a lesser version, that's ultimately viewed as a good bit of business.
So Cal in August 2024 tweeted, or posted, no, it would have been tweeted then, Newcastle spending 15 million on William Ostula is a prime example of clubs valuing profile and potential more than anything. He's not done much in senior football, but he's big, fast, direct, and 21 years old. Coaches like that and sporting directors love it. So yep. Basically that, all my work,
cosine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Basically all my work is piggybacking off what Hale's already done. But it's trying to condense that. I guess what I've tried to do with like the power forward and what we want to do with the archetypes is condense that into like something that you can just go to and look at.
Yeah.
So everything you've described is, again, he will have all the ingredients. And again, data-wise, we won't have much. He won't appear on anything because he's not played enough, especially in recent seasons. And I've not gone back to look at why he was signed. But the Isak comparison is great. He played in the, was it Birmingham City?
Game? Yeah, the FA Cup game, yeah.
Looked amazing, played right wing, but looked, I was like, well, I haven't seen you play in a while, if ever. I couldn't remember. And I was like, wow, this is like, yeah, you can immediately see why they've signed him. The Hadron Collider comparison is very good. And with Newcastle's link to Ekitike as well, Isak, Osula and Ekitike are all the exact same build. They're like, their body type is the same. So that makes me think that Newcastle do have, again, the way Osula was doing step overs and like carrying the ball, makes me think he's more of this like complete forward, which again just has everything and again has the pace to do the power forward stuff, but maybe that's not his like superhero power, because Isak himself doesn't profile well as this power forward type because he's just so smooth and does everything and links everything. He's probably in the same way that I said Drogba wasn't one, because Drogba did everything so well. Isak is probably the same in the same boat. So Newcastle themselves clearly have a striker recipe that they're following, because they didn't get Ekitike because he chose PSG. They got Isak and they've bought someone that is maybe a less refined version of those two players.
Yeah.
And I just think immediately, if you just look at Newcastle, their signings, the players they're interested in, that shows you that clubs are looking at strikers in this way, valuing athletic profile. I think it was Anthony Gordon recently did a clip that was going around about name an England squad member you'd want. And he said, Cole Palmer, I don't think he'd fit our style of play. And that he said that purely out of like, I don't think he will sprint as much as we have to sprint. So this is what I'm saying, like where the chicken and the egg comes in with like, how do you look for a profile? But Newcastle were clearly saying, you could be incredible at football, but if you don't have the capacity to make the 15 sprints that are now required in the Premier League to be a centre forward, we can't, we're not going to sign you because we can't accommodate that lack of movement. And that's why, going back to Duran, he's so interesting, because he's so quick, he's super strong, he challenges loads of aerials, but he doesn't actually do everything at massive volume apart from shoot.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, all of this is built around like what type of profile is best suited to getting a shot on goal. And Duran's answer is because yes. Whereas like for other teams and other less talented individuals, you have to be like, because I will make consistent runs in behind. So yeah, agree with like as I said, the Osula thing is a great example of it. Even if he's not quite, I think he's more of a complete profile, but it works. And then the thing that I just wanted to touch on that is in the article, or might have been taken out because I wrote a 4,000 word version that had to be cut down. the big point I tried to make about Gyökeres especially was, let me try and find what I wrote because that will do it better. I think it was an example of like how his non-linear development, first of all, You might not be as good at 21 as other wonder kids, but it doesn't mean you won't be good at some point. But the meta of the Premier League and elite football, because that's become more conducive to his profile, he now becomes more valuable.
Yeah.
And what I touched upon was that he's always been absolutely belting runs in behind. That he's not changed his style of play. He may have got more efficient at it, got better at it, but he's got naturally faster as he's got older, which, as I said, augments some of the stuff that is associated to the power forward. But looking at like his sprinting numbers and off-ball runs, if you like do it by a 30 minutes team in possession sort of way to normalize it, so not every team has 30 minutes of possession in a game, but look at what they do in that time frame. His runs in behind at Coventry and Sporting are extremely similar, and if anything, he was doing more. He was doing a few more ahead of the ball rather than in behind. So that then started painting a picture of like, should you consider ahead of the ball as like a proxy for in behind when looking at lesser teams, because they maybe don't have the like feel tilt to do as in behind as much. But if you're just running ahead and forward straight line to get ahead of it, that's like a similar style run. So I started pairing those closer. But yeah, the point I'm rambling on about is that Gyökeres has not really done much different in all these in terms of how he plays. So yes, there is player development at hand here, but all of a sudden his profile becomes much more valuable because of the football environment that we're sitting in. So you could just get lucky. You can get lucky. You could be the best target man in the world and no one could ever get the ball off you and your chest passes are like silk. But if that's not needed anymore, then it doesn't. You have to either change position or get fast.
We've spoken there about Gyökeres and we've spoken about, you know, the Premier League, but you know, I think it would be interesting to sort of get into a little bit of discussion about where power forwards are being produced, which leagues perhaps are conducive to young power forwards, you know, ones which are maybe a lot more transitional, which are, you know, allow you to make those striker runs that we've been talking about, to, you know, to where defences perhaps play high lines and you've got a lot of room in behind, or where the general level of the teams across the division is quite standardised, so that you know, you don't have, as you were saying there, you don't have teams who dominate massively. So the field tilt is, you know, the dominance of possession means that you know, the strikers on certain teams don't have the opportunity to make those runs in behind. From your research, from, you know, just, you know, further reading, where do you see power forwards being produced, and where do you think is quite conducive to them and that specific style?
Yeah, so the one in the example in the piece is look in the second tiers, mm-hmm. because if there's a perception that you're playing second tier football because you're not quite technically secure enough, but we're talking about a profile that relies heavily on like athletic capacity, then dropping down to search for like the supreme athletes, or at least the athletes that have above average second tier technical quality. Gyökeres was there. Darwin Núñez, who had to miss two sitters, as I was about to rave about his profile. So this is, again, that's another thing. You can be as quick and as fast as you want, but at the same time, you'll always have to do scouting on players. And if I still have Darwin Núñez stocks, I think he is a good striker that would lead to goals in a team, but I can't forgive like some of the misses. Anyway, they, Gyökeres, Núñez, and Watkins, who Watkins is like, I think Unai Emery's coaching is a reason for this as well, but he is like, if Gyökeres is the poster boy, Watkins is like just about in behind. So he was good in the championship. Darwin Núñez was at Almeria before Benfica signed him, and obviously Gyökeres was at Coventry as well, championship. And then you look at what happened in January, and let me find. So Brighton signed Stefano Simas, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, who is like Real's power forward pick. So like he started using that term to describe what he'd seen there, which was nice to see him adopt that to describe a player that he liked. Brighton bought him for 20 million euros. It's quite a big investment for someone that's not played big five league senior football. I think he played top flight in Greece. Como signed Ivan Azon from a second from Zaragoza in Segunda Liga, and Bournemouth picked up Eli Junior Krupi from Lorient. Again, they've just been relegated to Liga, but like second tier, he's doing well in the second tier, 18 as well. That's another thing. If like someone's looking good in these metrics and they're 18, then that's usually a sign like if we've got the money, we're going to get it back anyway, because they must be decent. So second tier is like the one in the article. Again, I won't go too much into that because it's there. But I then did like a few other skill corner searches on the metrics that we've spoken about, and did sort of outside Europe's top five leagues, like first and second tier. One obvious place is mainly because of one team, but the power forward is is also an extension of Stephen Ganilas's article on striker factories, which was a Skill Corner piece that's one of our most successful. And basically, I tried to build upon what he said there. And he mentioned Sturm Graz in that, and they had this athletic model. So the power forward is basically building on that athletic model, because he spoke about how Sturm Graz play a style of football that is conducive to making fast centre forwards look good. It's boiled down into a sentence. So power forwards look good. So the Austrian Bundesliga in itself, they make centre forwards as a group. I got the Austrian Bundesliga, Belgian Pro League, Croatian League, Czech First League, Danish Super League, Premier League, to give me context. Eredivisie I included, Swiss Super League, and the Allsvenskan. Those nine leagues, out of those, the Austrian Bundesliga made the most runs, the centre forwards as a group made the most runs in behind per 30 minutes of that. And it's 15.8 compared to 12.5 in the Prem. So this is based on last season data. So in terms of players that are used to playing that style and making runs in behind, or a league that fosters the development of the power forward profile, immediately Austrian Bundesliga, and as we know from Steve's piece, Sturm Graz especially is someone that you could look at. Mika Bereth scoring two hat-tricks in his first seven games for Monaco is an example that we say, like, the scouted rule is like when Sturm Graz sign a striker, take note. And he's again exemplifying that. So that was off-ball running. Austrian Bundesliga looked good. Belgian Pro League also looks very good. And obviously there's a lot of interest in them, with Club Brugge doing very well in the Champions League. But then I looked at, like, physicals. And the Austrian Bundesliga as a centre-forward group, again, obviously it's an average. So the quickest guys might be really quick. But as an average, they weren't quite as good as... Czech First League looks very promising. A lot of sprints per 30 from their strikers, and covering lots of distance when they're sprinting. So again, used to the demands that would be asked of them. Again, there's no measure of technical ability here. So that's what the scouting is for. And then also the Swiss Super League have got the second fastest group of strikers behind the Premier League in this group. And are also making a lot of sprints, like both per 90 and both per 30 minutes of team in possession. So I did a quick then look of someone in the Swiss Super League that fit the bill. So the Austrian Bundesliga one, Karim Konate, not at Sturm Graz, but did his ACL. But, like, if he can come back to even like 80% of what he was doing, then he will get signed, because he's got all of the traits of it. And then player that I've never heard of. So again, this isn't me saying go and sign him, but Kevin Carlos, who's a Spanish Nigerian nationality, is 23, so 2001 born, like 186 centimeters, like, which is, again, you can be small and be a power forward, because you can be like 100 meter sprinter style, but usually they're big just because power. And he's just gone to Basel, I think. I'm just checking here, from like an intra-league transfer from Verdon Sport, I think, if I'm reading all correctly. So Basel have picked him up, which, you, like, again, another way to look at it is, like, if the best team in the league is picking the best from their league, and
exactly,
then that's usually a good sign. So if Swiss Super League is like a potentially a good talent pool to fish from, then he looks like an interesting prospect from there. But I need much more work to be done before I say definitively. But he came out as quite a nice example from that pool.
It's nice having these outliers to then basically inform the further scouting, though, isn't it? Because that is ultimately you use the data to narrow on, because this is such specific data. And I would like to say, you know, it's exceedingly difficult to do this type of scouting, and certainly from our perspective, without the, you know, the skill corner data that we fortunately have access to. It really helps in narrowing down, especially what you're looking for, especially when you're trying to develop these archetypes, as Jake was saying earlier, about, you know, defining what a power forward is and basically trying to find the next ones, you know, because I'm sure those of us who don't work in professional scouting every single day, you know, we're not watching the Swiss Super League on a regular basis. You know, there might be scouts who listen who think, well, actually, yeah, I have spotted that there are strikers making a lot of runs in behind. They're making that they look to be, or they appear to be the fastest, but they haven't had the, I don't know, the resource to be able to back that up. That's what the data is there for, and it's there to validate your opinions and also your observations. I know that's something that happened to you recently, Jake, with one player in particular. You were saying before we started recording that you watched, was it about 30 minutes or 45 minutes of Sinclair Armstrong, who signed for Bristol City last summer from QPR. He's someone who I, again, from an eye test standpoint, was an immediate standout for someone who I thought, okay, this player with some refinement, with some coaching, is up there. You know, there is a real prospect in there. And I was kind of speaking to colleagues and sort of suggesting, you know, I think a top level championship team should actually take the plunge and say, look, you're not going to play every minute, but when you do and you come on, you're going to make such an impact in a good team that, you know, there is the potential that you can go stratospheric. What was your observation of Sinclair Armstrong after initially coming across him in the data?
Yeah, so he was in the piece because this bloke just only runs in behind, pretty much, it seemed like. He was an extreme outlier for the number of runs, not only just runs in behind, but striker runs, but it's because the majority of them were runs in behind. So he just sit in his piece, you'll just see him sitting on his own. And like I said, I think at some point, is power forward is actually not about efficiency. It's about constantly making runs that even if you get served one in seven, the fact that you've made so many is creating space for your team and also is just stretching the opposition team. Because if you're covering 300 meters in sprinting distance, that means the centre back either has to match you doing it or you're going to get a chance. And as I said, you then measure their ability to what they do in that space. And he is very much a quantity rather than quality. So the big way that I evaluated, so the discovery of the power forward prospects was like types of run and also speed. And then evaluating these, like what happens after you've used that speed and you've made that run. And Skill Corner have like runs leading to shots and runs leading to goals. And I noticed there was quite like an interesting thing where obviously the more runs you make, the lower the percentage naturally gets, unless you're a freak, and no one was like super freak in this sense. So there was that battle of like, the reason Gorkrez is the poster boy is because per 90, I think he was like top 10 out of a data set of 200 players for runs leading to shots. But that was because he was making so many. So the percentage wasn't great, but he made so many that you still arrive at the same number. And Armstrong is in that mold. He is someone that is making so many runs that he's producing the same number of runs leading to shots, but his percentage looks low. So when you search for these strikers, don't get boiled down by like, oh, he's only turning 20% of his runs into shots here. But if he's making 50, then that's a lot of shots in the game. The goal is the shots by like any means necessary. So if you've got the capacity to make 100 to get 10 shots, great. And if you could turn 20 into 10, great. But that's very rare. So Sinclair Armstrong stood out. And then I after a football match of Sunday of me trying to be my own power forward, because all I can do, don't have the power, just the speed. And then he came on for Bristol City and did like four breaking runs in behind and like one fouls and like got shots off. I was like, you've lived up to all of my dreams. So he's really interesting to keep an eye on. And as you said, he's young enough where maybe he's worth a punt for a team that indexes heavily. Like, I've been watching Beto play for Everton and just like absolutely wrestling for his life to get some space, but also running a lot of channels. And it's like, maybe that's the sort of environment you could go to and look really good. And then, yeah, in the article, there's a few others in the second tier. Someone that I really like in the Bundesliga second tier called Damian Downs, German US international, nearly like, I think he's like 190 centimeters, so looks good. And then there's an Italian striker. I didn't realize there was three of them. One of the Espositos, he's currently playing with one of his brothers in Serie B. And then the Sebastiano Esposito that people might be more familiar with is in Serie A. So they could all be in Serie A next season. But yeah, his younger brother, Pio.
It's another. Is it Sebastiano Salvatore as well?
Yeah. Well, let me again live looking.
I think it's Sebastiano Salvatore Esposito, and then is it Pio?
So the one that I'm talking about is called Francesco Pio Esposito.
Yeah.
Sebastiano is the other striker, or like now he's become a bit of a 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He plays in Serie A. And then Francesco plays alongside his brother Salvatore, you're correct, for Parma in
Serie B.
Spezia. And Chiao is a big fan of Salvatore, wrote about him in scout notes. And then I did like a power forward. So I've written about power forwards a lot this season in general. And then this skill corner piece is like the culmination of all of that. So it was funny to see Chiao write about Salvatore there, and then I wrote about Pio, and I was like, what? Is this the same player? And then it was no, it's just because there's loads of Espositos everywhere.
Excellent stuff. Well, I think that just about rounds off what we had to say on power forwards today. Just a nice hour-long episode. Really hope that you've enjoyed listening, that you've gained something from it. And yeah, maybe you'll think differently about the different types of forwards that there are in the modern game, and hopefully a little bit of nostalgia chat has also made you feel all warm and fuzzy inside thinking about Didier Drogba and Romelu Lukaku turning Jamie Carragher. But as always, thanks to Skill Corner, our data partners, for helping basically power this power forwards episode, but also. Without you, Jake, we wouldn't have the episode. So thank you for giving us your expertise and your time. Cannot wait for the condensed 4,000-word version of the Power Forwards article to arrive.
Thank you so much for indulging me. I loved it.
As always, always on this podcast. I've been Joe Donoghue, and you've been listening to the Scouted podcast. Bye for now. The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up-and-coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com.